Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 2nd. I'm Ray Graff. It's the Copyright Forum today. Joining us to answer your questions about protecting your writing, your music, your art, your photographs, Paul Rapp, Polly Law, and Bill Westwood. So if you have a question about copyright law, fair use, what's in the public domain, give us a call, 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email your questions to voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Paul, Polly, Bill, and your copyright calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Oh, hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's the Copyright Forum today. Our usual great panel is here to answer your questions. Paul Rapp is an intellectual property lawyer and writer. He represents musicians, writers, fine artists, businesses involved in the creative economy. He's a frequent lecturer on intellectual property issues. Bill Westwood is one of the country's leading medical illustrators and a professional member and past president of the Association of Medical Illustrators. Polly Law is past president of the Graphic Artists Guild, an organization focused on the rights of artists. She is a designer, illustrator, and an artist herself. Give us a call, 800-348-2551. If you have a question about your intellectual property, 800-348-2551, or you can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Paul, Bill, Polly, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Hey, Ray.
Polly Law, what's happening? What are you painting these days?
Oh, well, I'm doing a lot of printmaking. This summer I'll be teaching 2 workshops at the Woodstock School of Art on silkscreen printing.
Oh.
And my show that I'm part of at Albert Shahinian Fine Art in Rhinebeck is up until July 27th.
Mm. Do you ever do any sculpting?
I am terrible at sculpting.
Okay. All right. I want to try to get some life-size busts of my wife and myself for the backyard, just to stare at the house.
What are you, Mark Zuckerberg?
Just out of stone, like Easter Island, just to scare
the
kids.
Well, you can actually get that kind of thing done with 3D printing.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. Well, I don't know. It seems like it might be a little extravagant. All right, fine. Bill Westwood, how many livers have you done since I spoke to you?
Many, many, many.
Yeah? What's happening over there in the medical illustration world?
I'm just very busy.
Yeah?
Lots and lots of cases right now.
So how do people call? What do you mean cases? You mean copyright, like infringement cases?
No. No, I specialize in doing medical legal illustration. So I work for trial attorneys, primarily plaintiff trial attorneys.
Well, why can't, if I'm a trial attorney, why can't I just say, get me a good photograph of this? Why do I need an illustration?
Because you can't get a good photograph of it.
Really?
Yeah, the things that I'm doing are very case specific. If Ms. Jones gets in a car accident and has her upper leg femur broken, and then she has to have surgery, and then she has to have another surgery because that one didn't take, I work from the operative reports and x-rays, and I create illustrations of those injuries and those surgeries.
X-rays alone wouldn't do it in the court of law?
Not typically, because lay people oftentimes don't understand x-rays well.
Mm.
Plus, you can't show the repair via an x-ray.
Fascinating. You pot his mic up there? Try it now, Paul.
Yeah.
No, hello. His mic is, turn it on. Press.
Hey, okay.
There we are.
There you go.
He's on mic 3, buddy.
Plus his
Really? That's weird.
His illustrations are beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you could have a gallbladder in your living room.
Really?
And people would like, yeah.
What does a gallbladder look like?
It's green.
It's
bright green.
Really? But what's the shape?
It looks like a droplet. Comes down like that. Stretched oval.
You know, a family member of mine had a gallbladder out a couple months ago, and the doc said, I've never seen one like this before. I should have had you do that one.
Yeah, I should have sent it to Bill.
Yeah, exactly. Paul Rapp, what's happening?
Oh, I don't know. Enjoying the summer, looking forward to it, and trying to ramp down the practice, but when interesting stuff comes in, I work, and I'm having a good time.
You got to tell me, how was the premiere of the Blotto movie?
It was wonderful. We had sold out the Cohoes Music Hall, and it was like a gathering of the tribe from 45 years ago.
I mean, were people rowdy?
They were laughing uproariously. They were crying. They were applauding, like, all the way through. The Q&A afterwards was off the charts. It was just humbling and gratifying at the same time.
It was great having you guys on this show before that.
That was fun. Thanks for having us on, because that was fun.
All right, now let's get down to business here. The number is 800-348-2551. Copyrights, and yes, the obligatory AI story that I pulled from The Wire. I'm so sick and tired of this. This is from last week. Federal judge sided with Facebook parent Meta Platforms in dismissing a copyright infringement lawsuit from a group of authors, including Sarah Silverman, who accused the company of stealing their works to train its artificial intelligence technology. The judge found that the 13 authors who sued Meta made the wrong arguments and tossed the case, but apparently made indications there's reason to believe Meta and other AI companies have turned into serial copyright infringers as they train their technology on books and other works created by humans, and that they are open to further court actions. And it's never going to end. This is a cash cow for you lawyers.
Boy, I'm not going to get involved in any of those cases, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it's interestingly, there was a provision in the Trump current bill before Congress that would have put a 10-year moratorium on any kind of AI restrictions.
At the state level, right?
At the state level. Yeah. And that was just tossed out last night.
Yep, that was yesterday. Not included, or that was changed for the Senate version, which is now back at the House.
And, well, it was totally tossed, 99-1.
Right.
So hopefully that's not going to reappear.
So you're
do you think having state by state patchwork quilt regulation? What I mean, the ideal would be having it part of probably the copyright law, and having one law for everybody. Because otherwise, you know,
I agree,
but whether they get it right or not,
I agree, but correct. But putting a moratorium on any of those things would allow the AI companies to get a 10-year head start, and
because Congress isn't going to do anything.
Because Congress isn't going to do anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think we're left with the need for the states to act. Unfortunately, I agree with you, it's going to be a real patchwork.
Yeah, and it'd be like, you know, other areas that states are going to try different things. Some stuff's going to work, some stuff's going to be a disaster.
Correct.
And it'll be a learning exercise, but it'll be utter chaos.
For a while, maybe in the long run, if we get a different Congress, they could do something.
If I can still get good recipes off of ChatGPT, that's fine.
You know, there's this Geneva Convention, right? And it's about rules of things you can do in war. It seems to me that there are so many. First of all, the internet is across boundaries. What we do here isn't necessarily what China will do from a copyright standpoint, mm-hmm. or what England will do. Should there be an international?
There is. The Berne Convention.
But does everybody follow it?
The United States is a signatory. Most of Europe is signatory to it.
Yeah, but I think part of the problem with the AI thing is it's come so fast that I don't think none of these things have the ability to respond quickly. Plus, what do you respond to? It's all a bit amorphous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's how can you prove that you're, you know, unless, say I did an AI prompt to do something in the style of my work, I would have to assume that the spider has gone through the web and found examples of my work to then copy and incorporate into that piece. But you can't, it's like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall sometimes with AI.
Yeah.
It's going to end up at the Supreme Court, and
who and they knows? Don't understand
and who
it.
Knows what.
But ultimately, you know, how can we enforce it? If people want to abuse it, how can we enforce it?
Well, that's part of the problem, identifying infringements and then enforcing it. Right now, the Copyright Office has said anything created through AI is not protectable, is not registerable or copyright protected. As a matter of fact, the Copyright Office came out with this big study in the spring, and as a result of that study, the Trump administration fired the head of the Library of Congress and the registrar of the Copyright Office because they were favorable to basically the study leaned to the side that that the scraping was infringement.
You know, there's this other thing, and I guess there's this company that is a spinoff or a former OpenAI execs formed Anthropic, and apparently Reddit is suing them because they're scraping comments on Reddit. Now, I've never been on Reddit. One of my coworkers, he was on it relentlessly, and I looked over his shoulder as I walked to my desk. And, you know, it's just regular folks. Doesn't this open another Pandora's box?
There are all kinds of Pandora's boxes right now.
Yeah, it's a big box.
Does Reddit own those, even own those comments? You know, that would be in the Reddit terms of service, but whether they have even standing to bring the suit.
Yeah, any control over anything.
You know, and scraping, does it mean making one copy and putting it in your computer, or does it mean just looking at it and observing the information? And you know, and it's a trivial difference, but legally it means everything, because if you make a copy, then it's infringement. If you don't make a copy, if you just look, that's not infringement.
But if you're a computer, if you're AI and you're looking at it, it's the same thing.
It is the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. Yeah. But, you know, there you go.
Well, I've had it with this whole computer business. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. Let's go analog again. 800-348-2551. Copyright today. We'll be back. It's a wonderful world. There's Joe Pass here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551 if you have an intellectual property question for Bill Westwood, Polly Law, and or Paul Rapp. You can email voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Chatham. All right. David and Chatham, it's you, man. Go.
Hi. I have a picture I took of my 6-year-old granddaughter staring kind of wistfully at the menu board, the dessert section of a menu board at a fast food restaurant, kind of Norman Rockwell-ish, in my opinion. I don't intend to commercialize this in any way, but if it gets sent around, I would like to be recognized as the creator of that. Any thoughts?
Well, you can sign it digitally on the photo. I mean, are you talking about it's going to be online on social media? Or just passed around your family as a hard copy? How do you mean?
I don't know if I should put it on, let's say, Facebook, and somebody, you know, does a screen grab off it and sends it around for whatever reason. I would just like to have my name associated with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can. You certainly, if you think this thing might have legs, I would register the copyright for sure. If someone posts it online and doesn't give you attribution, yell at them. Tell them please credit me.
You can always impose your copyright notice on the photograph
like a watermark kind of thing.
Or
even at the bottom photo by David. You know, you don't deface the photograph by doing
it.
Put it in an inconspicuous
area, but yeah.
And that would not need to be registered with the Copyright Office if you did that.
Well,
I would register it. It's easy,
I mean,
and it's fairly
cheap.
I'm
not looking to make money off it or anything.
Well, you don't want anyone else to make money off it.
Yeah, but what if someone else took it and started making money?
If it starts to go viral and if people really like it, there'll be an opportunity there to make money, and you should do it. You know.
Because, or just to prevent someone else
from
financially benefiting from your work.
Yeah. Which
if somebody else commercialized it and you're not registered, that's a problem. So you just want to be registered. It's a $45 fee, and it takes 10-15 minutes to fill out the application. And why not do it?
It's not too tough. It really isn't. Yeah, David, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. That brings to mind something.
Yes.
My son and I went to Arby's on Saturday. Now, this guy took a picture in a fast food joint. I had one of the best beef and cheddar sandwiches I've had forever. If I took a picture of that, is that copyrighted by Arby's, or can I put it out?
Only if they copyrighted the exact sandwich you were eating, which is highly doubtful.
Really?
Yeah, that's fast food. They wouldn't have
time. You think there's a market for that, Polly?
Well, I mean, you could become the next big influencer online, Ray.
Well, I try not to be
online.
The
Arby's Whisperer.
The Arby's Whisperer. Delicious. The number here is 800-348-2551. And the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Bill Westwood is here, Polly Law and Paul Rapp. It's the Copyright Forum. And what could go wrong? Merle is in Argyle. Hello, Merle.
Must be a slow day. I'm on already.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good. I want to know how long I'm going to end up in jail for copyright penalty.
What
I've done is, I used a drawing out of a book I won't name and made a pendant at a silversmith place. And he said, this is copyright.
Oh, boy.
Violation.
Well, so if it's Disney,
what am I looking at?
In trouble.
If it's Mickey Mouse, you're you know, it's nice knowing you.
Yeah, if it's Disney. Probably nothing. If you just made one, I mean, you're not going to make a million of them and sell them at Walmart, are you?
Merle is silent on this. Are you going to go market these, Merle?
No.
No. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, if it's just one.
I think you're fine. I don't think.
Okay.
You can get sued, though. You're not going to get thrown in jail, right? They could ask for money.
In theory, you could get sued for infringement, and the penalties for that can be quite severe, you know.
But for one pendant?
The likelihood is very small.
Yes.
No, I agree. I'm just saying that, you know, you go out there to the extreme, and if someone were sued for that, you know, the penalty could be anywhere from $30,000 up.
It's a copyright forum. Merle, you got to tell us, what was the drawing? You got to tell us, right? No one knows your voice. No one knows who you are.
All right. Well, Steve will appreciate it because it's his business. But it's Harry Potter.
Oh, you are so cooked, man. You shouldn't have told us that. That's terrible.
I can hear the police cars in the background already.
Merle, destroy the evidence.
They're closing in on you.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you'll be fine, man.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, appreciate it.
Have a trans person wear it. That'll really get under their skin.
800-323-9. No, that's the fun drive number. Oh, my God. Bill and I were just talking about the fun drive, and thanks for reminding me. No, it's 800-348-2551 if you want to call us here at Vox Pop. It's the Copyright Forum. Polly Law, Bill Westwood, and Paul Rapp join us. And are you involved in any copyright stuff that you can talk about, Bill?
Not at the moment.
No?
For the first time in quite a while, I don't have anything going.
How are you alerted when you find someone has infringed on your copyright?
What do you mean alerted?
I mean, how do you find out about it?
Oh, I sometimes, for certain pieces that are infringed often, I go looking for them using, you know, Google Images.
Yeah. Does that really work?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it works well.
Really?
Yeah. So you put it in there and ask for similar images, it'll find them.
You could do AI now.
Oh,
it's probably better.
Right now, if I put in certain images, there's one that's infringed all around the world. The problem is I can't sue people in East Timbuktu.
Yeah.
And this gets back to, what did you call that convention?
The Bern Convention.
All right, so how do you enforce the Bern Convention around the world?
You can, but it's pricey. I mean, you got to go get a copyright attorney in Mozambique, you know.
Yeah, and the problem is that part would work, but the penalties outside the U.S. Are minuscule by comparison. It's not worth it.
800-348-2551 is the number. Polly Law, Bill Westwood, Paul Rapp are here. And, Paul, are you saying you're going to stop doing the law?
I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to, you know, not take, you know, like litigation, for example. See, I mean, I'm a solo practitioner, and to litigate as a solo practitioner these days is insane.
You know,
for most things. For some things, it's fine. But for the stuff that I do, for intellectual property stuff, it's absolutely insane.
You know, now that you have had that taste of the rock and roll lifestyle again, when you had the movie premiere and
the
all
second bite of the apple.
You going back now, like all these old timers doing the rock and roll?
The answer is no.
No?
No.
I saw Foreigner on TV. The sound was off in the newsroom, but I saw Foreigner. They're on Singer 3, and they're going on tour.
Yeah, and they're having so much fun that they decided they're not going to quit anymore. So, and they have like third or fourth generation people at each.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody wanted to do a Blotto tribute band, you know, and cut us in, we would endorse that.
In general, a tribute act, an Elvis impersonator or a Wayne Newton impersonator or whatever they do out in Vegas. Do the estates of those artists get a cut?
No.
But the music is copyrighted.
The music is copyrighted, so they'll get, you know, presumably performance royalties, ASCAP, BMI, and that kind
of thing. That's about
it. But you don't have to pay. The Elvis estate, you know, tried to, you know, land on people for having Elvis tribute bands. And I think they may have won, and then ultimately lost. And it would have turned into a matter of whack-a-mole anyways, because there's every town's got their Elvis impersonator.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Beatlemania at the Palace about 40 years ago, and it was a big deal. You know, all the mothers dragged us kids out to see it, and it was a big show. They must have made a lot of money on that. So the Beatles got no cut?
No cut, just the performance royalties.
But the name Beatle is in there. That Beatlemania was a thing, right?
Yeah, but if it's Beatlemania, it's clearly not to be confused with the Beatles, you know, and that's one rule. And I've had clients that are tribute bands, and they come and they, you know, show a picture of the actual band, and I'm like, no, you don't do anything that even an idiot in a hurry is going to think is the real band, you know. So just don't do it, you know. You have to make. And if you can put tribute somewhere in the ad, that's good, too.
Well, my band, Herman's Hermits, is going to be very huge. I got to be honest with you. Jane in Rensselaer. Jane, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for speaking with me. Let's see. After my husband died, his will left his personal estate to me. I discovered an unfinished manuscript that I know is his. It's in a field in which I have some expertise, and he clearly, in the introduction, was hoping that other people would read this and find it helpful. So my question is, you know, do I need, I'm assuming it's mine to do with, but it's not my work. So I'm just wondering how you might handle that, or how I might handle that.
Just go ahead and do it. If you enhance it to a big degree, you could add yourself as a co-writer. I mean, at this point, you own the copyright to that work,
I do.
To
okay.
the manuscript. So you can do whatever you want. You can add vampires into it if you want. But and if you do some, you know, light editing, then you can list yourself as an editor. But it's really a matter of choice, because you're in the driver's seat as the owner of the copyright.
But I would register it, however, mm-hmm. right away.
And how would I do that? You've probably been talking about it.
That's okay, Jane.
I did just recently give copies to the manuscript to his adult children, so they're aware of my intention. I might involve them in
cutting them in for a little slice.
So
www.copyright.gov, and they have tutorials there for how to register things, e-register them.
For the federal government, it's fairly easy. It's amazing. It's
not
bad.
It really is. And I would register.
Okay, now, I mean, this I didn't get access to his computer. I haven't tried to break into it, but there's no signature on this, but it's clearly my husband's. I mean, there's no one else who could have written
it.
Claim it is his,
you know.
Yeah. If somebody jumps out of the bushes and claims
so
otherwise.
www.copyright.gov, and I'm free to do with it. I mean, to honor his memory in trying to get a publisher and to make some changes and finish up the last chapter.
Yes. And good luck with it.
Thanks, Jane. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Copyright Forum today with Polly Law, Bill Westwood, and Paul Rapp. And it looks like it's Muriel in Coleraine. Hey, you're on, Muriel. Go ahead.
Yeah. My niece and I created a map. It's totally unusual. The Native American tribes of Massachusetts, and a guy named James in New York State is selling it.
Oh, boy.
And we didn't ever register it. And I don't right now have a copy. My niece died. She was the artist. I did years of research on the tribes here.
Are maps copyrightable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
The copyright law came into existence originally because of maps, because they were the most valuable, you know, in the 1700s.
Right. Yeah.
We put our initials, mine is M-E-R and hers was R-E-R, so we have hidden our initials in that map.
Well, I think you should register it and then send him an angry letter.
But you don't have a copy of it.
Yeah, I've got to get a copy. Somebody I know does have one. I did a presentation at a college, and that professor has a copy of my map, but otherwise I don't even have one.
Well, take the one that the guy's selling and register that. If it's an accurate description, if it's an accurate depiction of your map,
is my map. Yeah.
Yeah, and if it's a pirated copy, that doesn't matter. It's you can register that guy's.
Ah, it's genius. And when you register an image like that, are you taking just a very good photograph and uploading it?
Yeah. Or a digital copy, either one.
Yeah, it's and this throws people sometimes. It's called a deposit. And so people often think of that as some type of money. I remember when I first started years ago, it was very confusing. But the deposit is the copy of whatever you're
And they want to look at it and make sure it's the kind of thing that is warrants a copyright. And a map like this, I think, certainly does.
And it used
what
to be
what if he's already done that?
What if he's copyrighted?
Tough noogies on him. You call Paul.
Yeah.
You call an attorney and get the attorney to write a nasty letter.
Yeah, and that's fraud on the copyright office.
That's really expensive.
That's fraud on the copyright office. Oh, interesting.
But the reason we didn't even register years ago was we thought it was really expensive.
Oh, no,
I was living out in the woods in a cabin. I didn't have any money.
Well, I mean, even today it would be only $45 to register it, so...
And can you do that on paper?
Boy, they used to be able to do that.
It's more expensive on paper.
You can, but they charge you more. It's if you can do it online.
Go to your public library nearby, and you can do it.
Yeah, www.copyright.gov. I mean, if you really want to do it on paper, there is an option for that. But like Paul said, it's a bit more expensive. I don't recall the exact price.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking.
I don't know how to do anything with a computer.
A librarian's job is to help you on that kind of thing.
Right.
Find a 12-year-old child who's wearing glasses.
wearing glasses. Hey, Muriel, tell us, call us back next time we do a copyright forum in a few months and let us know how you did. Appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. It's the Copyright Forum. And you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Let's grab one more, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do it again. Let's go to Canada Lake. And, Paul, you're on.
Hey, good afternoon. So I'm a retired attorney, I was technically a tax attorney, but I spent two semesters during law school at Franklin Pierce College studying copyright and trademark.
Yep.
So up the road from Albany Law School on New Scotland Avenue is a place, the bar and restaurant called, that used to be called the Beer Belly, and they got sued by a bar in San Francisco, California, and had to end up lost and ended up having to change their name, so they're now known as Albany Apple and Oyster. And I just found that really interesting that entirely across the country, they got, you know, one bar in California, got a bar in Albany, New York, to have to change their name because of the trademark infringement.
Well, the only way that that's going to happen is if the California bar is so famous and so notorious that there's a likelihood that people in Albany are going to see it and think that there's a connection.
Ah.
But you got to be really famous, especially if you've only got one location. I mean, it sounds odd to me. I mean, the Ale and Oyster people might have thought, just not worth the hassle, let's change it. And Albany Ale and Oyster is a better name. Yeah, I mean, and it's a fine establishment.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes.
I was a patron of the place. I know the people personally. Mm-hmm. And I was a patron there, and they called me for a consultation. I'm just like, you know, just go change the name. And yes, I helped them come up with Albany Ale and Oyster, and it was a better name.
How many oysters in your billable hour? That's what I want to know.
They should have called me. I'd work for oysters. Any day of the week.
Well, they used to have, before the pandemic, they had Dollar Oyster Sundays.
Oh, yeah. Buck
so
a shuck.
All right.
Now, 3 dozen.
Well, that's cool. Listen, we got to take a break here, but Paul, thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Copyright Forum. Intellectual property. Paul Rapp. I almost said Paul Law and Polly Rapp, which would be interesting. Bill West, whoever. I don't. You know what? Some people are on. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, and I remember who I am. I'm Ray Graff. Paul Rapp, Bill Westwood, Polly Law. Look, I wrote it down. They're here with us today. 800-348-2551. That's the number if you have an intellectual property question. Vox Pop at WAMC.org. Why not go to Bearsville and cut my losses? Sharon, you're on.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
Okay. I have written and directed and produced a short narrative film. Mm-hmm. It's a 10-page script, and it's completed. And it's now submitted on this thing called Film Freeway to all of the film festivals and whatnot.
Yep.
And I realize, and I'm backing up here because I've never done this before, that I don't know if I have any of it copyrighted. I was listening to you talk and thinking, uh-oh, I better call them.
Well, if you don't remember being on the site, then it's not registered.
Copyright ownership and registration are two separate things. When you create it, it's copyrighted. But in order to fully protect it, you go to the Copyright Office and you register it. So I would suggest you do that.
Yeah, I think since you're sending it out in the world and you know, a lot of people are going to see it and it may end up online for some of these festivals, I would register it because, again, it's simple and fairly inexpensive.
When you're go ahead, Sharon.
Am I copywriting the script or the finished product?
The whole package.
That's
am I registering?
There are so many elements. I mean, what do you have to copyright?
I would do the whole enchilada, and it will register everything, the script, and you know,
yeah,
just do the whole thing, and
okay,
yeah,
okay,
because there's a category for audiovisual works, and it's a copyright.gov.
Thank you so much.
Copyright.gov. Sharon, thanks a lot. 800-348-2551. But if Sharon used music in it, that's a separate deal, right?
Well,
yeah, you'd exclude the music, you know, depending on, unless she created the music, but otherwise.
Yeah. And
if you use music, you have to have a license to have the music in the film.
Now, when Bert Blotto did the documentary on you guys, you can sue the pants off him. He used your music, right?
Yes.
So
we thought it was okay.
Okay. Oh, you did?
Yeah. There were a few third-party songs in there, and he's getting licenses as we speak. There's, you know, four or five seconds of a Dave Clark Five song.
Really?
You know, so,
which is about enough, yeah. Really, when you think about it. All right, let's go to Mark in Vermont. Hello, Mark.
How you doing? I have a question. I guess most of us are older. So when we were like teenagers, we made music, and a lot of times it went nowhere. And I copyrighted a bunch of music back in the 70s, but it never really went anywhere. But now I'm about to make a movie, and I want to put that music in the movie I'm making. I didn't know, do I need to recopyright my material?
When in
change
the 70s?
The songs a bit?
When in the 70s?
Late 70s. Late 70s.
After 76.
Yeah. You're good to go.
Yes. After.
Yep.
If it was the late 70s, yeah, if it was late 70s.
So what happened in the late 70s that changed the game?
The Copyright Revision Act of 1976.
So now it's good forever? Or
It changed the term of copyright.
Yeah.
And which is now what?
Life of the author plus 70?
70 years.
You're all set,
but that
Mark.
Was the Sonny Bono copyright extension.
It was.
Before 50. That, it was 50 years. So you've got 10 years left.
Okay.
Well, no, because it's 50 years plus your life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Unless you want to sue yourself.
My question, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll sue myself. Is I wrote a screenplay, and to protect it, I turned it into a novel, which has an ISBN number. Somebody said that protects the IP longer than just a plain old script, but that stuff I read on the internet. Okay. So what is your deal with that?
You can register the script as a, you know, as a standalone item. In fact, you should, because it's going to be materially different than the novel.
And the ISBN numbers.
They're all copyrighted.
Yeah.
Are they registered though?
Yeah. The ISBN number is not going to really give you a great deal of protection.
No,
it's kind of like that old poor man's copyright. If you
I don't think it's quite that, but I think that that's going to give the publisher some latitude, but because that proves that the publisher published it, outside of a physical copy in their hands. But I don't think it's not going to give you any protection in terms of your intellectual property.
Yeah, to the content, no.
All right, Mark.
Okay. All right, thank you. Move on, next person.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate
thanks,
the call.
Mark.
800-348-2551 is our number here on Vox Pop. You can email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. Bill Westwood is one of the country's leading medical illustrators. Paul Rapp, an intellectual property attorney at Poly Law, past president of the Graphic Artists Guild. Give us a shout with your copyright question, 800-348-2551. Kay is in Kingston. Kay is for Kingston. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody. I could really use some advice.
Sure.
I'm a writer. I've been a writer all my adult life. I published a book about 10 years ago that has my name on it as copyright. You know, I've copyrighted in my name. I did it through an Orthodox publisher with the help of an agent. And the agent recently arranged to get the book translated into a different language. Fine, I'm all for that. But then I literally got the contract today, and the contract is written by the agent's agent, so to speak, you know, the secondary agent involved here. And the secondary agent has inserted a paragraph that says that by signing this contract, I am giving my copyright to the agent's agent.
Oh, boy. Don't do that. Oh, God.
No. You do not want to sign
this
that.
This is like blew my mind. It's just such an affront to everything that
This is actually fairly typical in some of my experience with both agents and publishers. They come in and contracts always have a clause where they're going to hold the copyright, even if it's previously published. So what you've got to do is negotiate that out, and your leverage is you're not going to sign it. You're not going to go along with it. You're going to find somebody else if they don't agree to that. And the other thing is make sure that all of that material is registered. The publisher didn't necessarily register it at the time it was originally published. I've run into that.
They always say they're going to, and they rarely do.
Yeah. Exactly. And
really?
I have a good friend who's got a book published, and people were ripping it off and stealing it. She went to the publisher, and also on the advice of an attorney that I sent her to, and he said, well, you know, the publisher said that even though it was in the contract that the publisher would defend her copyright, they weren't doing it. And by the way, they didn't register the work.
Isn't that a lawsuit in itself?
Yeah, an expensive one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can check whether it's registered or not at copyright.gov. They have a database that was just upgraded.
A new database, by the way. I meant to mention that.
And you can, you know, search by the title. You can search by your name. And it'll tell you whether or not there's a registration.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say that at the beginning of the show. This actually, I did a cursory look at it. It looks pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Me too. I used it the other day.
Did you? Yeah.
Okay.
So. Do I need a copyright attorney? I mean, do I need somebody to go to bat for me on this? Or,
well,
or
I would.
Can I?
Well, I'm in awe that you actually read the contract
and
flagged that.
Well, I almost didn't, guys. I almost said,
they
can't.
They were counting on
you
not reading it.
Right. My advice.
Exactly. And then I read paragraph five, and there are about four paragraphs like this.
Yikes.
I won't go into details, you know, but nonetheless, there are
my suggestion, you attempt to do it yourself. If you don't get anywhere, then I would recommend calling a copyright attorney and getting them to negotiate. I would actually go back to your original agent. And
yeah, why did the second in command take care of it, Kay? What's going on there?
The original agent is the one who set me up with the second in command. Yes, I did send a blistering email to her, but I haven't heard from her yet.
Okay.
Well, she's all brand new.
Yeah, I would push that.
She's been in for a real long time. She might not be, shall we say, all here.
I'd push it a little bit. Try it yourself. And like say, if you can't make any inroads, personally, I would contact a copyright attorney because foreign language rights can be valuable.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. What about books on tape? You've written a book, it's copyrighted, it's published, everything. Then they want to put the book on tape. Is that
a
separate level?
That's a whole new licensing issue, and you ought to make money from that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go to Suzanne in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Suzanne, you're on.
Hello. Thank you for your program.
You're welcome. Okay.
The question I have is, I wrote a musical, and I had it copyrighted in 1987, and it has many songs, 17 songs, and I have the script, all of it's copyrighted. I produced it three times. I directed it here in Pittsfield, and then it stayed in the drawer because my goal, my desire, was to have it published, but I've been very uneasy about who do I send it to, how do I feel safe, even though there's copyright on it.
Have you registered the copyright with the government?
I believe she said yes.
I have a certificate.
Excellent.
Well, send it to reputable publishers because they don't become reputable publishers by stealing people's stuff. So, and make sure there's a notice of copyright, on the bottom of the page of the first page, and feel free to send it off.
Okay.
How do you find publishers?
That's another show.
Are you looking for someone to publish the script
or produce it?
And the music. I'm sorry. It's a complete work. And I would like to have the script published with the music attached. It's all notated. And for instance, if a high school theater director is looking for it's a family musical, if they're looking for something to do, they would have the complete work, the music and the script.
There are a few. There are a few agencies that specialize in publishing plays and musicals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You should do it. You should do an internet search. Google is your friend, and just start compiling a list of these agencies. There are also agents. There is at least one agency, I think, that specializes in family-friendly musicals.
Wow, that that's very specific.
Their audience is high schools.
Ah, there you go, yeah. Suzanne. Thank you very much. We have time for one or two more here before we wrap it up. Let's go to Sheffield, Massachusetts. Rhonda, you're on the copyright forum. Go ahead.
Hi.
Rhonda's gone. Well, maybe Rhonda will call back. Well, the Mets really are dogging it, huh? Wow, I'll tell you what.
Suzanne is back on the line.
No, Suzanne was the last caller. Oh. She had the musical, the family-friendly musical.
Oh. Hmm.
I mean, if you're an agency, how are you going to make money being that specific? We only
lots of high schools in this country.
Oh yeah, you know, high school programs. You know, I know a couple of agents that put that stuff out, and you know they have to feed the beast, and all of these little theaters, you know, like the Mahawi, like UPAC, they love having plays, and the schools will bus kids in, and that's what they do in the afternoons in these theaters, and it's really lucrative.
Really.
Yeah.
So Suzanne may make some moolah if it's any good.
Yeah, some simoleons.
All right, let's go to Rhonda again in Sheffield. Rhonda, are you there now, my friend?
I am. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I recently started painting, and I painted a still life. So there are a couple of objects, and then it's actually a handkerchief that I have, or a napkin. A cloth napkin with a print on it that I have draped across the table, and it actually has the artwork that someone's done, this decorative napkin. And I'm thinking, if I ever wanted to sell this painting, would there be any issues? Because this is actually someone else's work that I'm painting. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're selling the original painting, it's not going to be a problem.
Yeah.
If it blows up and you're selling posters and prints and all that stuff, it might, although, you know, commercial patterns on clothing.
They may be generic enough that they cannot
registered. Yeah. I mean,
so
they
this
might,
is
they
a handkerchief
not.
That has artwork on it. Is
it
that correct?
It has a design on it.
It has a design on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it if the thing goes crazy and they find out about it and they're upset enough to call you, then deal with it then.
And not every design is copyrightable or registerable.
Yeah.
So
Rhonda, I have to ask, why a handkerchief? Well, I mean, there are other topics, right?
It's so pretty.
Okay.
It's so pretty.
It's an element in her composition.
Okay.
It's a hand-blown glass buoy that I have sitting on top of this handkerchief. And I just needed something to gussy up the picture.
I understand. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately. But, Rhonda, thanks a lot for the call. And, I do some painting myself, but I use Kleenex. It's amazing. It's cheaper. All right, Paul Rapp, how do people find you if you are looking to talk to anyone?
Yeah, my email is paul@paulrapp.com.
Polly Law, how about you?
artwordstea5@gmail.com.
What does that even mean?
Three of my favorite things.
Art, words, T.
Art, words, and T.
Genius. Bill Westwood, how do people find you?
Westwood@capital.net.
All right, that's it. Support comes from Vision XL, Lake Katrine. Oh, boy. Let's start again. Vision XL, Lake Katrine, continuing a commitment to patient care, working to provide optical products and tech. techniques while adhering to safety protocols. Appointments at 845-336-6310. You get to be here for my stroke, everybody. Aren't you happy? Thanks to Ballet Flowers and Design, Malta, New York, a family-owned garden center and flowering farm offering landscape, wedding design services, perennials, annuals, herbs, and interactive classes. Balletflowers.com. And International Museum of Dinnerware Design, Kingston, now being served. Dining Grails, 400 tabletop objects by contemporary artists and industrial designers, Thursdays through Sundays, dinnerwaremuseum.org. Tomorrow it's the Science Forum. I'll get a nap and I'll see you then.